So it's allowed us to push forward, stay well financed, wade through the last couple of years here of a pretty challenging market, and be in a position now where we've still got a very substantial, I think, treasury, and own all of our projects 100%. And in this gold environment, we think we're well positioned here, next to a couple of meaningful deposits within the Dominican Republic, both Barrick's and GoldQuest's, where both of our prop those two properties are in very favorable geological environments, where there's every reason to believe that there could be more mineralization there. We think this is a really exciting time for us as we kind of move forward and advance towards drilling.
Jeff, hey, good day. We got a special guest here today. We have Jeff Wilson, President and CEO of Precipitate Gold. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing well, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, Jeff, we found you as a potential company we'd like to learn more about and potentially invest in. Full disclosure, Jeff Wilson or Precipitate Gold has not paid for this interview. I am not currently an investor, although that may change. I really wanted to get to know you and your story of your company. Let's start with you a little bit, just kind of your background. What kind of background do you come from? Do you bring into the company? And if you can tell us about Precipitate Gold.
Sure. Well, my background, I've been in the mining and sort of the junior exploration side of the business for over 25 years now, which is kind of a scary number to think about. I still like to think of myself as a young guy in this business, but I guess that's changed. But I started out primarily in investor relations and marketing and the capital market side of things early on in my career. So I was fortunate enough to work with some really good groups, good geologists, good management teams that I worked under, and got a really good understanding of how the business runs and the kinds of people that you want to associate and the kind that you don't, and what's important for this very high risk and challenging business to be successful. And some of the deals I was involved with early on attracted the attention of mid-tier major companies. There were some nice transactions there that I think put a sizable return on investment into a lot of investors' hands. And so that allowed me to then increase my my network within the capital market side of things, and starting to get better relationships with fund managers, accredited investors, retail brokers, and sort of building up that side of my skill set and background. And then about 15 years or so ago, I started to get a little bit more involved on sort of the direct management and running of companies, starting up shells and companies. My background is largely capital markets and IR, but again, having worked under some really competent and successful CEOs, got a very broad understanding of all aspects of the business, from managing the books to understanding geological maps and data and things like that. So so that's sort of my background, but always very much focused on the junior side of the business, the exploration side of the business, and sort of the discovery end of mineral exploration, where I've always felt that's where the greatest leverage comes from for investors is making a new discovery.
So if you can tell us about, what you guys got going. You got a flagship project called the Juan de Herrera project. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah.
And it's in the Dominican Republic.
If that's correct.
Tell us about, the jurisdiction as well as your flagship project.
Yeah, so we've been in the Dominican Republic since 2012. We entered into that jurisdiction in 2012 on the back of a very notable discovery made by a company by the name of GoldQuest Mining. Now, GoldQuest had been toiling in the Dominican Republic for a number of years, and then in 2012, they announced an incredible discovery hole. It was hundreds of meters of, over a gram gold and some copper as well, and their share price went from sort of 2 cents to $2 almost overnight, and the Dominican Republic suddenly was a hot active jurisdiction. We were one of the first follow-up companies to go in and secure ground, and that Juan de Herrera project that you mentioned that remains our flagship was the first acquisition we made in the Dominican Republic in 2012, and it's situated immediately adjacent to GoldQuest's Romero project. Over a strike length of about 40 kilometers that we share a concession or claim boundary with them. That project, Romero, has gone on from that discovery hole to now be about a 4.5 million ounce gold equivalent resource. Wow. They're moving that towards through development and towards production, currently doing environmental impact studies and feasibility work. And so that area has really heated up. And, you know, really our story all along has been this is a very underexplored, sort of little understood region or belt of rocks. A lot of the geology that exists at GoldQuest Romero project, we believe, exists on our side of the concession boundary as well. We've sort of had fits and starts a little bit with respect to work programs, part of that because of capital markets and sort of the ups and downs of accessing capital. Part of it was to do with some jurisdictional issues that we had to work through with the government with respect to adequate permitting and that sort of thing. But we're sort of back on track here now where we're following up on what was our initial discovery hole back in 2014. And since then, we've delineated a number of distinct individual mineralized target areas within the project that we are now sort of advancing with some geophysics and some more sort of detailed exploration techniques to try to delineate one or more of these targets as a near-term drill play in the coming months. So, you know, this is a jurisdiction that I recognize is a little maybe little known in terms of its mineral endowment and mining history. But what I can say is that this is a country where mining has been a big part of the economy for a long time, driven largely by one particular deposit that is called Pueblo Viejo, and that is operated by Barrick presently. It's one of the largest gold mining operations in Latin America. It's at certain times it's been one of the largest gold mining operations in the world. And so the Dominican Republic, the people, the government, you know, understand that mining is an important part of their economy. It's been a big contributor to the GDP. And the government recognizes that, you know, in the world that we live in now, where your metals and minerals are so critical, increasing their mining exposure and bringing additional projects online has become a priority. It's been a bit of a slow go. The government is sort of figuring some things out a little bit because, you know, this is all a little bit new to them. But they've been very supportive of the industry and of the sector and our company specifically. And we're optimistic here as we enter into what appears to be a very bullish gold environment that we seem to be in right now, to be able to move towards, you know, a much more active exploration and drilling campaign in the coming months.
Jeff, if you can tell us about the grade as well as how much gold you think you have. I mean, I know you mentioned the adjacent gold quest, and you said that you're optimistic or hopeful that you guys have even better, you can get better results with more gold. If you can tell us more about that.
Yeah, this is a fairly elevated grade. This region is fairly elevated with respect to its mineral grades. I mean, both on the copper and the gold side. You know, we've delineated a number of different target areas where, you know, through sampling and you know, if you want to get a little bit more specific rather than just soil sampling, which has been a big part of our exploration campaign to delineate sort of areas of interest. But then as we get more detailed, you know, we get into rock sampling, you know, testing out crops and then doing trenching, which again gives you a better, more sort of consistent or contiguous kind of understanding of the mineral endowment. And, you know, we've been getting, you know, individual rock samples on the copper side. We have an individual sample that ran 13% copper in a sample taken off of a rock face, which would, you know, I think is an incredible staggering grade of copper. Other part of our project where we're getting some more gold rich returns, you know, we've seen an individual sample of over 73 grams per ton gold. Now, again, these are individual samples. They're selective. I recognize that, but it gives you an indication. And if you were to look through both Precipitate's property package as well as GoldQuest, you'd see this very prolific, you know, quite consistent elevated grades in both gold and copper all the way throughout the belt. You know, some of our trenching, again, we've got trenching values where we were getting sort of 20 meters of several grams per ton gold. We've got some narrower sort of, you know, 1 meter sort of intervals where we're getting, you know, 16, 17, 18 grams per ton gold. So I feel like this is a, you know, this is not sort of necessarily going to be a, you know, a low grade type of environment. This is a place where I think that if a mining operation were to get up and running, I think you'd be looking at a fairly substantial gold grade. And if you factor in the fact that there's both gold and copper here, I think you could get a really, economically sound operation where, either you look at it from a gold equivalent perspective with the gold and copper, or, sort of the old Goldcorp, way of saying things is that basically the copper pays for the gold and the gold is being extracted at no cost to the company. So, the combination of both high grade gold and high grade copper all within the same region, we think makes for, a very interesting possible sort of mining scenario in the going forward.
So my understanding with the Dominican government is that they've been pretty, they've shown strong support for mining recently. Has that been, you said that you guys have a especially good relationship. If you can tell us about, like what kind of support you've been seeing, as well as if you can tell us about your other projects and you think you got two other projects in the Dominican as well. And if you can, are those also gold and silver or copper, or do they also include other stuff?
No, they're primarily gold and copper. So yeah, with respect to the government and the region, or the country, I would say the government has been very proactive, supportive, and certainly when with my dealings with the Department of Mines, the Ministry of Energy and Mines, as well as sort of the environment, the Ministry of Environment, which plays into things like drill permitting and other factors that relate to us. All of whom have been very very supportive. They want to see mining flourish. They've gone out of their way in certain instances to assist us and help facilitate our needs. I would say that the one sort of lingering issue that we still continue to have, and anybody that follows our story or GoldQuest story will know this, is that there have been some community issues, some community pushback where, and I think you could see, this is, in my opinion, this is not a Dominican issue. If you want to build a pipeline in Canada, you're going to run into community issues and opposition. If you want to start talking about fracking in the United States, you're going to run into people that are going to have issues. So, these kinds of projects, and anytime you're talking about mining, I think there's always going to be concerns from people. But and so that's something that we're all of us who are operating in the country are conscious of. And so that plays in with to the government a little bit, because as we all know, governments, their primary objective is to remain popular. And so if there's a contingent of the population that doesn't like mining or thinks mining's bad, the government is always going to be mindful of, hey, we need to make sure that we don't ostracize this group by saying, well, we're going to do mining no matter what. So we as operators down there need to take into consideration the views and feelings of local people and make sure that we're educating them and informing them and engaging them and collaborating with them to be part of what could be the benefit of this mining operation. So it's less about us coming in and extracting the natural resources and running back to Canada. It becomes more of a collaborative situation where we want to hire local. We want to make sure that local communities benefit, that people get better quality of life, their kids get better educated, all those kinds of benefits that a mine can bring. So that's a long-winded way of saying that the government has been very supportive of the industry and of the sector, and I think they continue to advocate for us. But again, governments and us as corporate citizens need to also be mindful of local people and making sure that we're managing that in the right way. And so we have to be cautious about that. And sometimes that plays into our timelines. Sometimes we have to take a little extra time to make sure that we're not going to be obstructed from doing our work because somebody, doesn't want us in their backyard, and make sure that we then take the time to set everything up so that when we get into these places, everybody understands what we're trying to do. To the second part of your question with respect to other projects, when some of the local issues became sort of polarized in the region where Wanda Herrera is located, which is called San Juan, and where GoldQuest is located, we sort of both we and GoldQuest decided to sort of take a bit of a pause here until we felt like we had a clear path, and there was no point in sort of spending money on those projects if we weren't going to be able to continue to move forward. My saying was always, what's the point of me looking for more gold if the guys who have already found it next door can't get it out of the ground? So we needed to see some movement there that GoldQuest was going to advance towards a possible production, and we're seeing that now. But in the interim, when we weren't sure that that was going to happen, We moved over to another part of the country, where, as I mentioned earlier, Barrick has this Pueblo Viejo mining operation. It's a world-class tier one massive gold mining operation. And we were able to secure the ground surrounding that on three sides, basically right up against the claim boundary of that mining operation on three sides, back in 2018, 2019. And again, it was a time when gold was out of favor, the Dominican Republic was out of favor. And we acquired it from another junior mining company that was throwing up their hands and wanted to race off and become a cannabis company. And because that was all the rage at that time. And so we were able to acquire that ground, entire land package for $25,000 cash and some shares of precipitate. And 18 months later, well, and everybody said to me when we acquired that, you know, if that ground was so great, Barrick, why didn't Barrick do a deal with the guys that had it before? And I said, well, I don't know. I can't speak to that, but you know, we think that there's value here and there's exploration potential, and if nothing else, perhaps a strategic card to play. 18 months after we acquired that project, we did some geophysics. We spent about $350,000 of work, and then Barrick came and knocked on the door and said, look, we'd like to do an earn-in agreement here. So we entered into a deal with Barrick on our ground surrounding where they spent $7 million over about 5 years exploring on our project. Was very helpful to us because, as we know, the last 5 years have been pretty challenging in the mining space. And so to have somebody else funding and financing our project without us having to deploy our own capital was helpful. And of course, they didn't get any interest in the project. It was an all or nothing. So they either completed the earn-in and they got 70%, or we get it back 100%. And so just in the last few months, we have got it back. They didn't see what they were looking for from a Barrick standpoint, which is, you know, obviously something that's world class, but we saw a lot of good work done by Barrick. Now that we've got that project back, we're reevaluating some of the work that they did, the data that they provided, and looking to determine whether or not there's still some untapped or underexplored targets within that property package. One of the other benefits that came from that is during the time that Barrick was exploring on our project and spending their money on our property, they were also looking to expand their mining operation next door at Pueblo Viejo, and they needed ground, they needed real estate for infrastructure purposes for this expansion. And so we were able to negotiate with them a payment of $5 million US and a 3% NSR on a couple of fractions of our property that we gave to them in exchange for that cash. And so that's really put Precipitate in a very nice cash position over the last several years. Because of that cash injection, which of course we issued no shares, it was non-dilutive, it was just free capital for us. Because we received that, we haven't done an equity financing or a private placement since 2021. And we haven't got any warrants outstanding on the company. So it's, you know, it's allowed us to push forward, stay well financed, wade through the last couple of years here of a pretty challenging market, and be in a position now where we've still got a very substantial, I think, treasury and own all of our projects 100%. And you know, in this gold environment, we think we're well positioned here, next to a couple of, you know, meaningful deposits within the Dominican Republic, both Barrick's and GoldQuest's, where both of those two properties are in, you know, very favorable geological environments where there's every reason to believe that there could be more mineralization there. You know, we think this is a really exciting time for us as we kind of move forward and advance towards drilling.
Jeff, it's not every day you see a junior mining company with no debt, all projects own 100%, and you got what was like a was it 4 million in cash or what cash equivalent?
$4 million in cash. Yeah.
Could you tell us about just kind of the upside for investors, any risks that you foresee, and then if you can tell us about, you know, just where you see the value. I don't if you can also with that, I'd love to hear about the shares outstanding and the share structure, but for investors, we want to know where is the value here, and if you can share us what your thoughts are.
Yeah, sure. Well, quickly touch on the share structure. So we've got about 130 million shares issued and outstanding. You know, the company's been around now for 12 or 13 years, never rolled back, never consolidated. We've always been very frugal with the treasury and you know, our operating costs and G&A. And as I say, we've got, you know, a fairly healthy working capital. So 130 million shares out, no warrants outstanding. There are some options, obviously incentive stock options issued to, directors and certain consultants, but we certainly aren't maxed out on that. We try to be pretty reasonable on that front too. One of our biggest shareholders is a company by the name of Strategic Metals. They are a Vancouver-based exploration group, very technically sound. They're involved with a few other junior companies, predominantly focused in the Yukon and Northern British Columbia and Canada, but also in Nevada as well. And Strategic put about $2 million cash into Precipitate several years ago through a private placement and then the exercise of warrants. And that put them, with, a pretty sizable share position at that time. The other major shareholder of note is Barrick. At the time we did the deal with Barrick, they put about $1.3 million into Precipitate in a private placement. Just shares, again, no warrants were attached to that. So they've got about 13 million shares of Precipitate as well. So when you look at that, the float, and there's a few other sizable shareholders in there as well, mostly high net worth individuals, wealthy retail types, if you will. So no big institutions per se, but the float I think is relatively modest, and most of the big positions are in pretty good hands. So we've been, I think the structure of the capital structure of the company is good. With respect to sort of, where we're going and upside and where I see value, I mean, there's no question we've been mindful of the environment that we've been in over the last several years, and trying to make sure that, as we are spending money, we see a legitimate return on investment for the company and for its shareholders, rather than just, being busy for the sake of being busy and knowing that there's no real return on that. So we've been very strategic about how and when we deploy capital into exploration programs. But I, the last eight to 10 months or so, we've been much more active with field programs, work on the ground, delineating new targets, trenching, sampling. We're currently now doing geophysics, which is really important in this region. There's not a lot of outcrop in this geological environment. So yes, you can get soil samples. You can find anomalous areas where there's gold in the soil or some rocks. But the real sort of guide, I guess, for drilling and exploration has been geophysics, where we can see below the surface. We can get an indication of chargeability, is what we're looking for. That really is a really important tool, that whenever you can see, gold and copper at surface, and then below that you see a chargeability high anomaly, that's kind of where you want to go. And that's led to the discovery of several mineralized zones within this region. So we're doing that geophysical work right now. Our last two news releases have been on interim results of that geophysical surveying, and we've had good fortune. We are seeing some good, strong anomalies in chargeability beneath surface. And as we compile the remainder of the geophysical data and look at all that holistically, all the data all together, I think that's going to be an important trigger for us to then start to lay out a plan for drilling. And I'm hoping that we'll be in a position to be doing drilling at some point in the next, in the next few months, something like that. We do have permits in place for a lot of these target areas, not all of them. Some of them are just emerging, and so we don't have drill permits yet, but a lot of these target areas within our project do have drill permits. So, we shouldn't be in a position where we would have, unexpected or unnecessary delays when the time comes for us to, start the drill programs.
Jeff, it's a fascinating story. I'd love to hear more about it and continue to follow your story, have you on again. But if for listeners who want to follow your story, who want to follow you or have any questions, if you can tell us your ticker as well as your website, email, or whatever you like to share.
Sure. Well, our ticker in the US on the OTCQB is PREIF. And in Canada on the TSX Venture, it is PRG. Our website is precipitategold.com. There's an ability there to send a message through to the company. That essentially means it gets sent through to me. We're a pretty lean team, and so I don't have a bunch of people working under me doing administrative type stuff. If you send an email or put a call into the number, You'll get me, or you'll get a response from me. And you know, I've always believed that a big part of my job, aside from managing the company and all the day-to-day, is to be accountable to shareholders or potential shareholders, you know, potential investors. So more than happy to take time either on a call or in an email to address individual questions or provide more detail. And outside of that, our website is typically fairly well maintained and up to date. There's a strong and pretty fulsome corporate presentation on the website, as well as some video animation, if you will, with respect to the Wanda Herrera project, where you can go in on the Wanda Herrera page. There's sort of a virtual 3D tour. You can click on your specific area of interest and play around and do a deep dive. So again, I think there's pretty good information out there on the internet. And but again, happy to address any specific questions that come to me at any time.
Jeff, thanks so much for being on our show.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the time, Steve.